Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We are teaching through the book of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. We took a little side road last week. I just believe that there was somebody, or maybe bodies, that needed to hear other promises of God. And therefore, we went to Psalm 91. There was something I wanted to add, and I didn't get to it. So, let's get to it now. We spoke of this Psalm 91 as having three speakers. One was the choir, those either angels or experienced saints. There was that which is in the first person, which you find in the second and ninth verses, and then God speaking in the 14th through the 16th verse. My hope today is to answer some questions that your faith, that is, those of you who are in Christ, might be strengthened. It says in the 15th verse, "He shall call upon me," God speaking, "and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble." I think I went too fast last week. I just want to tell God's people, the church, that trouble is not an indication of being forsaken by God. He says it right here. I will be with him in trouble. Like in Psalm 84. Blessed men go through valleys of weeping. Trouble, folks, trouble, God's people, it's part of the trip. But God says in the very trouble, he will be with us and deliver us. And honor us. It says in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, the 30th verse, God speaking, "I will honor him that honors me." Well, you say, "Don, I thought you just said you were teaching in Ephesians." Hang in here. I'm going somewhere. I don't know how much time we're going to spend in Ephesians. I'd like to, well, let's just get back to it. This chapter speaks of the life, death, and ascension of Christ, the resurrection. It's the foundation and cornerstone of the Christian faith that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And when Christ ascended up on high above all heavens, that he might fill all things. It says he gave some apostles. The eighth verse says, and gave gifts to men. Domata is the word. And here are the domata. He gave some the apostles, some the prophets, and some the evangelists, and some the pastors and teachers. Why did he do this? For the perfecting, King James says. Better word is for the equipping. That which is needed for this journey of faith that God's people, that is the people that belong to the Lord, might have that which is necessary to complete this journey for the equipping of the saints to the work of the ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, who is a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But being sincere, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This book of Ephesians tells us in its opening where it says, blessed be the God, third verse. No. That's a name of God. The good speaking God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. God is telling us, you know, it's not by power or might, but by my spirit. God is a spirit, and he has given us a spirit, and he is talking spiritually, that is, about things that are unseen. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And the gift, a gift, domata of God to his people, is that they might be edified and equipped to make this journey into eternity. Fourth verse says, according as he has chosen us in him. I don't know how many times I've said it already in this series. I'm going to say it again. This word chosen in the Greek is exelexitos. It has three parts. The prefix ek, that is from the past, that is something that's already happened. Lego or logo. It says in the beginning of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the word, the logos. This word means to speak. Its root branches out to Lego, that is to choose by speaking. And the suffix of the word tells us in the grammar of the Greek that it is in the middle voice that gives us the understanding of the action, and that understanding is that the actor is doing it for himself. So to properly edify your understanding, to build up, if you would, your understanding, what is being said here is, according as God has already chosen for himself us out from among those he did not choose, and he did this in him, that is, in Christ. We're on a journey, folks. And it is a journey into eternity. Jesus said in his true Lord's Prayer that this is life eternal, that a man may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. We jump all the way into the second chapter, wherein it says, even when we were dead in sins, and I've said this, I can't tell you countless times, you cannot be a Christian unless you are aware that you are a sinner. Even when we were dead in sins, has he given life unto us together with Christ by grace, unmerited favor. Charisma is the word. Nothing you did or I did to deserve it. By grace are ye saved. An alternative is, by whose grace, Christ, are ye saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show off the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In his kindness, Jesus stepped from heaven's throne and became kinned with us. That was a requirement of redemption that only one near of kin could provide, that which was necessary to restore us, to restore that which was lost. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You know, as I've gone through this walk, I've encountered friends. I'm not saying that they're all of one accord with me, but of several who have been close enough, they have kind of said the same thing. Oh, you know, Don, I don't understand at all, but boy, that's a tremendous faith that you have. Well, that might be their perception, but if any faith I have that might be displayed, here's the source. It's a gift of God. It's not my faith. It's a gift of God. In the book of Isaiah, we're going somewhere today, folks. We're going somewhere. Hang in here with me. In the book of Isaiah, it says, "For since the beginning of the world." What's the beginning of the world? Hebrews 11, I believe it's the third verse, it says, well, I don't have to believe, let's just go to it. You know, that's where so many of us make mistakes, attempting to quote from mind rather than that which God has preserved, that we might today still have the word that was delivered, first of all, unto the saints. It says, the third verse, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is, from nothing. God made everything. How did he do it? He did it by faith. He had no doubt. He had amenness, no doubt that what he spoke would be. Oh, that it would be dinned into us. When we speak God's word, it will be. We don't have to reach up and pull him down. We don't have to reach down and pull him up. 10th chapter of Romans. The word is nigh. Speak it forth. For let's just use the whole. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt faith in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the scripture says, whoever faiths on him shall not be ashamed. Trouble is part of the trip. God says he'll be with us in trouble. Read for yourselves that 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. That's a life story of a man who, like no other man in history, was used of God to unveil, to reveal to us the mystery of the gospel, the good news of God, that which God has spoken. The Apostle Paul. Read the trouble in his life. Boy, if he counted on no trouble as a result of this relationship with God, he, as he said in other places, would be most miserable of men. But I would have you equipped. I would have you built up and edified in Christ Jesus. Back to where we started here, Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have I seen, O God, beside thee, what he, that is God, has prepared for him that waiteth for him. No, God, we've got, the churches are filled today with, I don't want to wait, show me now, give me a sign. Jesus said, it's a faithless and perverse generation which seeketh a sign. But knowing that men can be faithless and do pervert, he said, I'll give you a sign. And the sign he gave was the sign of Jonah, and the sign of the resurrection, which, as we have already said, the foundation and the cornerstone to which everything is connected, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul puts it another way in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. He says, but as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. This is life eternal, that a man may know thee, the one true God, may know thee. And to know God is to love him. This word being translated of Isaiah 64:4, waiteth, it's through the idea of piercing, to adhere to, hence to await, to long for, to tarry, to wait with expectation of hope that what God said he will do, hope and faith, are twin sisters. God said it. That's our hope. Our job is to hang our body, using our mouth, and proclaiming the truth of the gospel, that in Christ Jesus, God has chosen us for himself to be with him throughout eternity. I'd like to give you a few verses from the Gospel of John. Sixth chapter, 44th verse. No man, Jesus speaking, can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And the promise of God, and I will raise him up at the last day. Continuing, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Jesus repeats himself in the 65th verse of that same chapter, and he says, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. God is the chooser, and he's doing it for himself. If you have had an inkling, if you have had a nudge, if you have had a sense of being drawn to God, I assure you, it is not of yourself, it is of God our Father. Let the nudge be a push. Let the drawing be like that of a tow truck that draws the broken vehicle to its destination. Let this sink in. Stay with God, for he shall stay with you. Why? Jesus said prior to these sayings of the 44th, 45th, and 65th verses of John 6, in the 37th verse, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Don't let circumstance suggest to you that you have been cast out from God. If that circumstance is in defiance of the promises of God, God is in control. His name is Jehovah, Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. He's in control of all. And he has put in his chosen his spirit, and he will do what he said he will do, that in the ages to come, he might show off the exceeding richness of his grace Jesus, in that same Gospel of John. Wait a minute. There's a little something else I want to say here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'd have you know, folks, it's harder to get out of God's will than it is to get in God's will. God's will. Hinder not that spirit that draweth you unto Jesus. Jesus says in the 14th chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This Ephesian letter tells us over 40 times that God has put us in Christ. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you have confidence in the Word of God? Are you being drawn to Jesus? Hold on to that word. Let it guide you in all things. Understand the grace of God, the grace that is in Jesus Christ, where God has put the people that he has chosen from before the foundations of the world in Christ. I am the way. Jesus didn't say, do this, that, and the other thing, and that's the way you get eternal life from God. He said, I'm the way, the only way into eternity, the truth. I'm the reality and the life. That resurrected life, who sits at the right hand of God. And no man cometh unto him that we call by grace, that we call our Father, but by and in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I hope that by hearing God's word today, you might be equipped a little better for this journey, that you might be edified a little more and have your confidence built up in the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. Amen. That is no doubt until next time. That's the God School for today.